Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is July 23rd, 2020, and I'm very honored to have Rick Dalton with us today. Rick is the president of College for Every Student, Brilliant Pathways. He's also the CEO. We'll just call him the president. And they are an innovative national nonprofit that works to ensure college for every student, CFES, College for Every Student. So we're going to talk to Rick about what he's doing for that, how his organization works, how you may want to get involved. I know he has an upcoming conference coming up in October, and we're going to talk about all these wonderful things with Mr. Rick Dalton in just a couple of seconds. As soon as I just get done a little bit of homework, hang on for a second, Rick. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio like we always do. We link in over at Larry Jacobs, and we Facebook at both Larry Jacobs and EduTalk Radio. Please go over, and Rick, when you do this, go over to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Note the acronym, ACE-ED. We have a wonderful consortium built to bring all those people in education just like you and the industry together to bring about equity and accessible education for everyone. It's all free, and it includes a subscription to our magazine, our online journal, which is ACE, Equity and Access. So please go over, check it all out at ace-ed.org. We're growing like Topsy at the age of equity. We want your voice in there as well. Okay, Rick, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Hi, Rick. That's Larry here. And by the way, thank you for being a good sport since our guest line didn't work and I was able to get to, thanks to the great technology, I was able to get this show going and you here. So I appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's good. Tell us about what you're doing. And also, by the way, Rick, were you on the show before a few years ago?
No.
Something's familiar. No, this is your first time. Something
is
familiar to me. It's just something. So welcome, first-timer. Hope it's the first of many.
Well, great to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
You're more than welcome. So tell us about yourself. And, of course, you're president of CFES and Brilliant Pathways. And also tell us how you got involved in doing what you're doing and what it is. Let's give you a generic question to start off.
Sure. Larry, I'm an old guy, so I've been doing education for 50 years. And if you factor in my own going to school, it's of course, longer than that. But right out of college, I was a high school teacher, a high school administrator. Then a college administrator, I became a director of admission at a college, and I looked around, and of course, this wasn't the first time it came to me, but I didn't see a whole lot of equity. I didn't see low-income kids getting the same sort of opportunities as their well-off peers, and got involved in a couple of research projects and decided there are ways to sort of change things. So 30 years ago, I started what is now CFES Brilliant Pathways. And we have, since then, we've helped 100,000 kids get college degrees. Now, those are four-year degrees.
Congratulations.
Well, it's a lot more than me.
Well, that may be, but I'll congratulate the whole group via you.
Right. Well, we have a wonderful team, and we work with terrific schools. We've worked with 1,500 schools across the United States and into Ireland, and I mean it's been a great journey. We started off and still are a nonprofit, and it was really something that you mentioned a few seconds ago. It was equity, and really the widening gap.
It mattered.
The widening gap is what moved us into this realm and saw an absolutely huge need. And you look at underserved kids and those being born in low-income households, kids from poverty, and the ones who are successful, the ones who are able to, as simple as buy a house, support their kids, support a family, contribute to their community. And most of them have one thing in common, and that is some sort of post-secondary education. And as we say, college today is what high school was decades ago. And you need a college degree. Doesn't mean you have to have a four-year degree, but you need some.
I'm just going to ask you that.
Yeah, well, 2 years, and it in some cases it's a credential of value. It may not even be 2 years, but post-secondary learning has to be part of your plan.
And you know, it's interesting. We say K-12, and we've gotten used to saying K-12. But in reality, if I may, Rick, K-12 is fairly arbitrary. Okay, some people could probably do it in K-10. Let's be honest.
Sure.
Okay,
yep.
I probably would have needed K-38 if I didn't go to college. Okay, what you're saying is something that I thought about, and that higher ed in some form, whatever it is, has to be on that, what we call that spectrum of K-12. It has to go to at least K-14. We need to call it that to get people to understand it. But what I don't understand about your group, again, it's CFES, Brilliant Pathways, all right? And it's brilliantpathways.org, everybody, brilliantpathways.org. What do you actually do? How do you help the kids? Do you give them money? Do you train them to pass the tests? What do you do?
We help them find the money. We have three practices, and of course, over 30 years, as is the case with any dynamic organization, there's been a whole lot of evolution. And, you know, as we say in our organization, if next year we're doing things the same way as we did them this year, then we haven't learned, and we will be out of business. So we're always looking to get better, and we look at sort of our results. We do a great deal with evaluation and research, and we have three practices that are part of the experience of every young person in CFES Brilliant Pathways. And again, every one of our students I should say 95% are from low-income households. So the three practices are mentoring, essential skills, and pathways to college and career. And mentoring means that every student has a mentor. And it might be a community leader, it might be a college student, or it might be an older peer, but someone is helping that student out. And the expectation is once you've been helped, you begin to help others. So mentoring is right at the center of what we do. And the
Rick, wait one second. How old are these kids that you're talking about? Are they junior high? I'm sure middle school.
Work in elementary. We work in middle.
Wow.
We work in high school.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Amazing. And let me ask you this: how does a school? This is key. Get in touch with you. I don't know if you reach out to school.
Sure. Well,
okay.
We're always looking
to know how to do that.
For new members. We have foundations, corporations, even some federal state money that supports schools participating in our program. If a school doesn't have that sort of source, we can work with them to perhaps find the money. The other way is to take money from professional development budget, and we provide tremendous amount of professional development. And we have different rates in terms of, and all of that is on the website. There, one can be a virtual member or an in-person member where we send people to that school to work with students and teachers and train and so on. But, Larry, the second practice after mentoring is what we call the essential skills.
Mm-hmm.
And many people call these non-cognitive. We find that demeaning or soft skills. And we don't think that they're soft or non-cognitive. We think that
they're
absolutely
not soft.
Essential.
I agree with you. Yeah, that term, by the way, and I have learned this over the past year or two, is leaving that soft skills term. Okay, because they're not soft skills. They're like you call them essential skills. I like that.
Absolutely. And yeah. Soft can't leave soon enough, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Here, here.
So we've found with our scholars, and we call CFES student scholars, the nice. Ones that are most successful, the ones that go to college, and about 95% of our students do end up going to college. But the ones that go to college and end up being community leaders, they're giving back, they're able to support a family. They are not necessarily the kids with the highest test scores or the best grades,
mm-hmm.
but they have these sort of essential skills. And I have identified six. There are many more, but teamwork, perseverance or grit, agility, goal setting, networking, leadership. Those are the skills that allow our students to really get through high school, get to college, get through college, get into the job force, be successful at their job, their career. And we spend a lot of time helping our scholars develop these essential skills. And that happens in all sorts of ways, one of which is to find other young people who look like our scholars, who have been successful, and they talk about how they developed essential skills and what mm-hmm. that meant in terms of their journey. So mentoring and essential skills.
Do you follow up? I must ask you, we're going to get to your third point in a second, but do you follow up with the students after they leave college, let's say? Okay, are you following up with them for the next 10 years to see that that has all worked? Because even college doesn't guarantee success.
Not
you know
all
what
of
I mean.
Them, but we have an
yep.
alumni network.
Nice.
We know what most of them are doing, and our kids they're successful. Now, realize there's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you stay in a program like ours, you know, you probably have some of that grit. You've got some of that leadership. You're good at teamwork. You've got some mm-hmm. agility. And our young people are successful. And again, the measures are you buy a house, you contribute to your community.
Exactly.
You have a family. You're giving back.
And I want to say something else. We haven't covered this, okay? We're talking about students of low income and helping them through for College for Every Student, Brilliant Pathways. I want to make the point that when Rick speaks of this, he is talking of all students in all areas, urban, suburban, and rural.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that's key. These kids exist literally everywhere. All right. So if there was a picture conjured up in your head of one group, okay, that would be inaccurate. We're talking about urban, suburban, and rural kids, okay, and helping them, et cetera. Is this run through a guidance department at school?
No.
Or is it run through a principal? Where does it usually come
through,
from?
Yeah, the principal is part of the program and may not be the one, you know, the worker bee, but the principal identifies a team of people who will make the program go. Now, realize that in most schools that are looking to change the status quo, that are focusing on college and career readiness, that there are components mm-hmm. of what we are doing. And we help them take those components to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So the mentoring, the essential skills, and then the third practice is what we call pathways
yes.
to college and career.
Mm-hmm.
And that is simply helping young people understand what that pathway looks like. If you're going to go to college, obviously there are all sorts of things that you need to do. There are tests you need to take. There are visits. There's money you need to pay. There's financial aid. And the list goes on and on. And one of the things we have seen in the last couple of months is that the path is different today than it was on March 1st.
I was going to ask you about the effects of the pandemic. What are you seeing?
I mean, what everyone else is seeing, where education has been really flipped on its ear.
Yeah.
And higher education is certainly as much or more so than K-12. And we're
yes,
talking
they have been
about...
flipped on their tush. They have been flipped on their tush. And I'm going to give everybody the point. I always make this point. When I say those kind of things, everything's been flipped. All the educators and the professionals are doing a good job. They just, many of them are not trained in what to do next. Suddenly
sure.
this thing hit and the whole world got turned around. But educators, that's from teacher aides to superintendents to presidents of colleges, okay, they're doing the best they can in crazy times, but it changes everything. So how's it affected Brilliant Pathways? What's going on, at least in the three, 4 months that we've gone through this?
In terms of how we help our children, I mean, the need is greater for what we do today than it was 4 months ago. If you just look at the pathway practice, and it's the costs and financial aid, net tuition revenue, all of those things that are part of higher education, and not that students need to figure out net tuition revenue, but they need to figure out financial aid. They need to figure out tuition, and we help them down that path, and again, it is a new path. And the challenge is that others who help students, and this is something that I hope we can talk about in a minute, need help in understanding sort of the new pathways. Obviously, how we learn has changed. We are in a virtual learning world, and
that's
not
right.
going to go away. There will be students will be in classrooms again, and obviously there's a lot of conflict and confusion about what that means and when it will happen, but virtual is here to stay. And there's
it
a
is.
Lot
that... With that I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I prefer to call this whole thing, everybody calls this distance learning and remote learning. I call it distance education and remote
I like that.
Education.
Sure.
Because I'll tell you the truth, Rick, I'm not so I think they are, but not we don't know how to assess this. We're not sure everybody's learning at this stage of the game. It's education. We're doing the best we can. So are the kids and parents. Okay.
Absolutely.
But we really
sure.
gotta learn how to assess this. So go ahead.
Well,
sorry to interrupt.
And that's another show unto itself. I mean that's a much
sure
longer
is.
Conversation. But we as an organization are dealing with this, and how we reach our students today is different than it was 4 months ago. And our national conference and how we train our educators, the professional development
we'll talk about that
we provide, is very different right now than it was just a few short weeks ago.
Let me swing over to that for a second.
Yeah.
You have a national conference coming up in October, right?
We do.
Okay. That, I assume, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, will probably be virtual this year, or maybe a hybrid.
It will be virtual.
Go ahead.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, it's totally virtual, all right?
So our national conference...
Let me finish my question, because
I just
want to position this. I know you have a goal to train 5,000 college and career readiness advisors, that you call them, by 2022. Okay, you wrote me that. I'm not that smart, but you wrote me that. Okay, so my question is, okay, who are these advisors now? Who should be and could be advisors? Okay, and we'll talk about attendance at this at your conference. Again, virtual, which I hope will increase attendance, since you don't have to get on an airplane and you don't have to pack a suitcase. Go ahead.
Right. Conference and CCR advisors, let me separate the two as two different topics.
Okay.
So our CCR advisors are college and career readiness advisors. And if a little bit of background, if you ask a low-income student who's in college, who helped you down the pathway, and especially a first-generation college student, first in the family to go to college, what you're going to hear, you're rarely going to hear, it was a guidance counselor, it was a college counselor. You're going to hear that it was a teacher, it was my math teacher, it was my history teacher, It was mm-hmm. the principal's secretary. It was the principal.
Yeah, nice.
It was the assistant principal. It was my coach. It was my pastor. So there are all sorts of folks out there without a formal role in helping students down this critical pathway. Again, more critical today than ever before. And that's another conversation. But so
yeah.
We as an organization, we've done the research. We know who and how kids move down that pathway, low-income kids. And our goal is to, and I think that we need to amp up our numbers, but we plan to train 5,000 of these individuals as college and career readiness advisors over the next 18 months. And we do virtual
okay.
workshops, and there's 6-hour workshops, and there are 7 sessions. The first and the last are ones that we ask people to be part of in real time, and then the others they can do whenever. And frankly, if they can't do the first and the last in real time, they can do it at a time that works.
Mm-hmm.
But the training also involves a couple of universities. We've teamed up with the University of Vermont and Lehigh uh-huh. University, who put their seal on the certificate that CCR advisors receive. Now, if you're a teacher, you are expected to do a certain number of hours, depending on the state and the district, each year. And
mm-hmm.
that certificate has value because you fulfill that particular requirement.
Cool.
So we are planning to train, again, thousands of CCR advisors in the next few months. On our website, people can find out how to sign up, how to be part of this. And the wonderful thing is there are no borders. And we have people from Ireland, we have people from Oxford, and we have people from all over this
wow.
country, from Hawaii to the East Coast.
Wow, nice.
Who participate in these CCR advisor trainings. But we think it is fundamental in terms of helping kids get on that pathway. And it's most important, it's vital to our young people. One of the things that, Larry, you know well, is that kids need college today more than ever.
I believe they
need it in terms of getting ready for this changing world of ours, this demanding world of ours. But at the same time, we're going to see in the next few weeks, we're going to see a 15% drop in the number of people that go to colleges across this country. So you've got this juxtaposition of people need college more than ever, but we have,
yeah,
and this will be for the 10th straight year, this drop in who's going to college. So what can we do to fix that? And that's the CCR advisor is one of the things we can do and are doing.
Well, and one of the things we have to do, we said it at the beginning, is change at K-12, which we so blithely use that spectrum
yes.
of years to K-14, and
absolutely.
Just make sure people understand they need more. And if I may, I'm just going to say this, because it always bugs me, we have to be sure that K-12 is getting kids prepared for a higher education experience. Okay. Sometimes
absolutely.
We just push kids through the system. They
sure.
get A's and they wind up reading on a fourth grade level when they get to college.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Terrible.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So we have to take care of those kids at this level. So let me get back to your conference. Your conference is in, I believe, late October. Okay. So who do you want to come to the or virtually attend the conference?
So obviously educators at all levels, K-12, higher ed. And then folks, community leaders, business leaders, anyone who's interested in helping young people move down that path to success
mm-hmm.
in higher education. And the theme of the conference is college and career readiness in a new world. And I'm sure, Larry, you've been talking about this a lot in the last few weeks, but
yeah.
we're part
God.
Of a brave new
yeah.
world.
We are. We are literally part of a brave new world. And boy, it's I don't want to say it's a slow haul to get it right, because it's pretty quick what we're doing. All right. And it's kind of like the way they're trying to find a vaccine. Okay.
Right.
We're doing the best we can as quick as we can. And we
Absolutely.
May make a couple of mistakes along the way, but we're really trying it. Parents are trying. I have to say that as well as kids. It's just really something. You said you work with UVM and Lehigh University. I'm going to always ask you my funny question about UVM before we go any further. You ready, Rick?
Yeah, I am.
Ready?
All yeah.
right. UVM, University of Vermont, right?
Yes.
Why do we call it UVM? Why isn't it just UV?
Well,
go ahead.
University, you know, you
go
got
ahead,
that
Rick.
University of Virginia,
yeah,
which is UVA.
Do, that's not fine.
Yeah, I realize,
yeah,
but the distinct, and Vermonters are sort of under themselves. They do it. They
okay,
do it their way.
Sense. He's totally on the wrong track. I have to stop him. Okay. You ready, everybody? Okay. You know why? Because it's French. It's University of the Green Mountains. It's three words. Vermont.
Oh, good for you. Right? Yeah.
Mountains.
Yeah.
You'll win every bar bet with that. Trust me on that.
All right.
Okay.
Now, how
you'll
did
win
you
every
know that,
bar
Larry?
Bet. That question. Three
I'm
words.
Impressed.
University of the Green Mountains. Right?
That's great.
Okay,
yep.
that's enough of that. Okay, but that's my favorite, one of my favorite little tricks
on
that sort of. Yeah, it's cool, and it is fun. You can ask that at your meeting. All right, how long will the meeting be? Will it be a 3-day thing, 6 hours each day, or one day? What is it?
Again, it's 6 hours. There's an opening session that is 1 hour, and it runs over a 10-day period. The last session is 10 days after the first, and the two through six sessions you can attend any time because they are virtual. You just log on to our website.
Is there a cost to attend?
There is, yes. Yeah.
So people know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's cool. Go ahead.
Check
it out, by the way.
All of that is on the website. Absolutely.
Yeah, brilliantpathways.org. And there's nothing wrong with charging people. I just wanted to make sure people knew that before they checked in, because it is important. But this is really good stuff. And really, any educator, any interested person can attend, okay, and be trained, all right, and make this together. What's the big issue you want to go to talk about? Is it the obvious elephant in the room, college for every student?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
What do you
well,
see
I mean,
the big issue?
The big issue at the CCR and the conference The big issues are the issues of today, and it's the pandemic, and you know, part of that is cost, part of that is this new way of learning, and who's figured out how best to teach, educate their children. And what we have seen across the United States is that virtual learning, there is a correlation between income and results. Wealthier schools and wealthier communities are having an easier time reaching
sure.
young people. But there are sure. some wonderful, wonderful districts, both urban and rural, that
yes.
are inner city, low-income rural, that are reaching 98% of their kids. So
yeah.
they have a message. They have a story to tell, and that will certainly be part of the conference. There will be, you know, much discussion about social equity issues, and
yeah,
very much
justice,
on the minds of educators,
yeah.
but, you know, all of us in the United States. And what does that mean? And what does that mean if you live in the Northeast, rural, and 98% of the kids are Caucasian in your school, and you hear all this talk about Black Lives Matter? What can you do? What is the implication? What is the impact? What is the meaning for rural kids who are white? And that will
be welcome to the district I live in about 40 miles northwest of Portland, Maine. So
okay.
You just described it.
Yeah.
You just described it.
That's part of the conversation that needs
really
to take
is.
Place.
You know, I want to ask you a couple of things. First of all, you said there were I wrote this number down, but I wanted to get it in context. You said you have worked with 1,500 schools. I think
we have.
You said that. And I was,
yes.
Does schools mean K-12 or does schools mean higher education institutions? Or maybe it's a combination
well, they
of
don't,
both.
They don't mean higher ed institutions. We have worked with 500 higher ed institutions.
Okay.
And we've worked with 1,500 K-12. Now, some of those institutions of the 1,500, some are straight high schools, some are middle schools. And, Larry, where you live, you may have in one building K-12. So
no, actually,
some
we
of
have
our
three.
We're
one of those districts. Yeah, we have three. Yeah.
Okay. So that's we work in a number of those in the Adirondacks, in Leather Stocking region, other parts of the country.
Yeah, a little James Fenimore Cooper there. Leather,
exactly.
I like that. Leather socks.
Yeah.
I like that. Wow,
right.
I haven't heard that phrase in a long, long time.
We work
Leather,
with
thank
13
you for that.
Schools.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a great phrase. I love that, the leather stocking area. I love that. So I have to ask you a question. This struck me as interesting as we were talking, Rick. You know, it seems to me that what you do with your college and career readiness advisors, it would seem, have you ever tapped into schools of education? Because it seems to me that students who are in those schools of education, many of them in the same boat as the kids we're trying to reach, okay, would be excellent readiness advisors. Have you ever tapped into them to get those kids involved in what you're doing at Brilliant
Pathways? Well, we are with our two partners in this venture, Lehigh and University of Vermont.
Yeah. Three words.
Both have schools of education, and the deans at both those institutions are part of the group we are talking to and signing agreements with at this point. And I know that each of the two universities plans to bring this to their graduate students, and Lehigh doesn't have undergrads, but they plan to, not through their School of Education, but they plan to reach undergrads as well. So we are reaching them in that way. And through those two.
Yeah, go to an organization. There's an organization called AACTE. You're familiar with that?
I'm not.
It's the American Association of Colleges of Teacher Education, AACTE. Okay. And they're a nice group, by the way. But they're all the education schools. And because, especially nowadays, everything's virtual, kid in Kansas can help a kid in West Virginia.
Absolutely.
Okay, they weren't going to fly there before, but now they can talk via Skype or whatever, or Zoom.
Great.
So that might be a group worth going to. I want to ask you, we said urban, suburban, rural, all right? And do you have a sweet spot? You're up in upstate New York,
well,
I'm wondering.
It's less suburban. I grew up in suburbia in Massachusetts, but our schools are primarily urban and rural.
Which are just – where'd you grow up?
Westfield, Massachusetts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Got it. All right.
Western part of
you're upstate
state.
New York.
Yeah.
Forgive
yep.
you. Okay.
Well, so that
you were allowed to go. New York through
well,
way.
The,
right.
the sweet spot would be both urban and rural, but the trouble spot is rural, and rural is falling behind urban. And I'm just finishing a book that will be out in February, published by Routledge. And it's focusing on, you know, how to sort of turn around rural communities. And I believe the answer is education. It's college and career readiness.
Without question. And the other one is access to education. There's a real challenge out there with access.
Absolutely.
Okay, for rural. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah. And rural school, we do a lot with my magazine, which is AC&A, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, over at our consortium, which I hope you join up with. It's free. Okay. Well, at ace-ed.org. Okay. Please do so. We'd love to have you. Okay.
Right.
And we do a lot with rural ed. In fact, our good friend, mutual friend, John White, okay, has helped us along quite a bit with that. Okay.
That
so I'm really glad you're looking at this, Rick, because it's. It's a real challenge. It really is. And I can speak from experience where I live. Okay, the kids don't get out enough, so to speak, and they now with what we're going through with pandemic, they're it's even worse. So we got to really, really make sure kids understand there's a whole world out there
because
our world is shrinking. Everybody, yeah. It's just brutal out there. Okay, well, we got to go, my friend. This was wonderful. You know, I may ask you to come back, but I'll talk to John. And maybe we can get one of the UVM or Lehigh people on, or one of the schools that you work with on. That would be good too. Yeah, okay, it would be good. Well, I know John is listening. So John, you can plan on that. We'll get that together, and we'll push your book when it comes out. What's it called?
Well, the title. I'm finding that the title I had doesn't work. So it's Building Rural America's Brilliant Pathway Through College and Career Readiness. Yeah.
That doesn't work? That works or doesn't work?
My focus groups tell me that instead of rural, I should use small town.
No.
Because not everybody.
No, Larry says no.
Okay. Larry, you're Larry more important
no.
than my focus group. I'll have to tell them
Thank
that
you.
When I meet with them later
today. I'm the size of a focus group, so I can't. Okay? Since I've been eating every day and never moved now that we're in the pandemic, I am the size of a focus group. Right, so now,
thank you, Larry.
That small town, that's the wrong way to look at it. Okay, rural. I like rural because every state has rural, and they know what we're talking about here. And it's and I like brilliant pathways for rural schools is a great thing too.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. I'll stick.
It'll be ready in February.
Don't do what I say, but at least you can listen. Thank you for being polite and listening. We got to go, Rick. This was great, but we'll do more. John's listening, so I'll talk to him about it as well. All right. Good luck with everything.
Thanks,
we'll help you push the conference as we get a little bit closer. Thank you for being a good sport and letting me call out to you as our guest line is down. So I appreciate the effort even before the show.
Thanks so much. Bye now.
Okay. Take care of yourself in leather stocking land. Take care of yourself. Okay, thanks, Rick. All right, that was Rick Dalton. Let me give you the website, which is brilliantpathways.org. Check it out. It's good stuff. It really is. Innovative nonprofit, College for Every Student, CFES, brilliantpathways.org. And they got their conference coming up. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Please go over, join our consortium for equity at ace-ed.org. It's all free, includes a subscription to our magazine. You care about equity, please make your voice heard. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks.